This is FM 2.0 with the Don, Dean, Stormy, and the Grizz. Forever music. Music. Music.
Hey, everybody. We're live. I know people will be joining here as it goes. A big TikTok audience will be here.
Tell me about your dog. Is that a dog I saw in the background?
Yeah, it's Miller, boy. Listen, Miller, come here.
Miller.
Miller. It's Miller, like
Miller time. Yes, sir.
Yeah, man.
He's sleeping over there in the corner. Let's see if you guys can see him. You see him down there?
You know, quite honestly, Stroh's had a dog. If I remember the Tone Loke song, because Alex from Stroh's. Spuds McKenzie,
yeah.
So now Miller needs a dog. Orlando, you might be able to get a Miller sponsorship with your
dog. Dude, he's a cute. Let me tell you, he's a cute dog. If he'd come over here, Miller, come. Little golden retriever pup. He
doesn't. He's like the hell tat. I'm sleeping.
Our likes will go up when you put a dog on camera.
No doubt. There he is. There he is. Come here, Miller.
Come on, Miller.
There's the
Miller.
Oh, yeah. There's the pup.
Oh my goodness.
Horrible.
That's a puppy, isn't it?
Yeah, he's like 4 months old.
4 months old. He's like, yeah. Dad, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, he's like, come play with me. What? Why
come
are
play
you,
with me.
Yeah. Why are you messing around?
Yeah, I've got a German Shepherd. She loves to catch the Frisbee. So all day long, it's Frisbee, Frisbee.
Nice.
Oh, this is great. Well,
I can imagine what that Frisbee looks like.
Oh, I can't.
Yeah.
Torn up.
Yeah, it gets right. Torn up.
Well, those of you that are coming in, welcome. You know, it's interesting. Hey, hola, amigos. It's Bev Moser. How you doing, Bev? So, we love Bev. What I was going to bring, and Noel Simmons is in here. How you doing, Noel? We're going to talk to Mr. Orlando Mendez. I haven't officially introduced you properly. Orlando Mendez, by way of Miami.
That's right. What's up, guys? How we doing?
Good. I love your moniker, awesome. The Cuban Cowboy.
Yeah, I got that early on, man. Early on, starting to play down in Miami. I heard I was up once on stage one night, and I was just rocking out. I heard somebody from the crowd goes, "That's the freaking Cuban Cowboy," and I was like, "Man, that's awesome. I'm keeping that."
Please tell me you have Cuban Cowboy shirts. You gotta make them.
Well, they're coming out. They're coming out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
There's a little plug, shameless plug there. They're coming out real soon.
There you go. Huh? Everyone get ready to get your Cuban Cowboy shirts.
You ever have any of your friends be like, "What are you doing, man? Like doing country music?"
Yeah. Oh yeah, no doubt. I mean, I'm from Miami, you know, down there.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, there wasn't a huge country scene. It was kind of, you know, that was a very niche audience down in Miami. But actually the last few years, even in the last 5 years, country music has really, really grown and expanded in South Florida. You're seeing a lot of artists starting to travel down there. More festivals. I'm actually playing in a festival in November called Country Bay Music Fest, being headlined by Sam Hunt and Thomas Rhett and Lainey Wilson. So the scenes down there is definitely growing, and I want to put that audience on my back.
Was there a single artist or a single song that, you know, started the spark, or did they just finally start promoting in the area?
It was kind of some of these big artists now, Morgan Wallen and Luke Combs, just they took it to another level where you couldn't go on the internet without seeing them, right? And so that kind of, you know, that whole Morgan Wallen type sound was really what got to South Florida. And then obviously it's like a gateway drug. You get into one, then you start expanding your knowledge to other artists, and all of a sudden you're a country music fan.
Morgan Wallen's a gateway drug. Is that what you're saying?
Morgan Wallen might be the gateway drug for South Florida.
And the mullet. You got to get the mullet. Like a full That's mullet.
Right.
Next.
That's right.
Well, you mentioned Luke Combs, which kind of ties in to what I wanted to do. I wanted to introduce people to you that may not know. Orlando appeared on The Voice. And what's wild about The Voice, everyone knows, you know, it's a unique show in that everyone, the coaches sit with their back turned, so they have no idea what you look like. They're all going by your voice. If you don't mind, I want to play a clip from that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I want to play a clip of Orlando on The Voice to get everybody kind of, and then we're going to get into his music, which is absolutely incredible. I'm not just saying it. I actually called your PR person, Christy, and I said, dear God, he's got a song that should be number one. And is there a video for it? You sent me clips.
Yeah.
I'm hoping I can get it up there. But by the way, TikTok group here, Positive Rhymes watching, they're streaming it over there. So a bunch of people watching on TikTok, Orlando. So
That's amazing, man. Well, thank you so much for having me on. What's up, everybody? I hope you get a better feeling of who I am.
There we go. See, the first comment, right? Love the voice. See, look at that. Well, Orlando made it great. Let me do this. I'm going to hit mute on you. Oh, I was probably echoing there for a second. I'm sorry because I got a little anxious. All right, so here we go. I'm going to share this right now. This is, as I stated, Orlando Mendez. And this was when he was on The Voice. Now, you mentioned Luke Combs. He actually did the song right here. So let me go back to the screen here. Just make sure that the audio quality is right. Grizz, just tell me real quick. Can you hear or see the screen?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, here we go. All right, so here we go. This is Luke Combs, Orlando Mendez on The Voice. See, all the four chairs are turned to their back to Orlando right now, and then watch what happens. All right, so I'm going to skip ahead because I don't want you to get a copyright strike here. And then one more. We're going to go to, let's see if it's right here. Boom. Four chairs turn for Orlando. Let's get you all back here right now. So, how about that? You're looking at a back of chairs. How does that feel when you're performing? You're like, okay, you're waiting for him to turn around. Is that going through your head?
Man, it still gives me anxiety watching it now. I'm not gonna lie. It still makes my palms sweaty. It was a surreal moment, you know. I mean, you try to focus on the crowd, focus on the performance, and just giving it the best you got. You try to focus on your vocals and what you know how to do, and then just pray that those chairs turn, man. I was only hoping for one. I was hoping, just please God, one person to turn, and man, to get four is the most.
It's probably hard to contain that excitement when they actually do turn, because you're trying to perform at the same time, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, you see it from the corner of your eye. I saw the first one. I saw Camila turn, and I was like, "All right, we're in the game. Like, we're good now.
You're in." You know, I was watching a series of these. When artists perform the coaches' songs, which is really stressful. I watched a guy in UK, I think it was, or Australia. Boy George was on, and when Boy Church turned around, the guy could not. He lost it. He started crying. Like, I could only imagine when you're doing the artist song and they turn around, right? But you're doing songs and then you got all four of them. Camila chose you.
Yeah.
Or you chose her. I'm sorry. Yeah. The Miami connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. It's interesting choice there. I'm sure I've gotten my, my share of hate for that one, but it was, people wanted me to go Blake. Would have been a great choice. Some days I think I probably should have gone Blake. But, you know, she was incredible. And just the things she said, how hard she fought for me and really wanted me on her team, I felt like it'd be a good fit.
What's the biggest thing you learned from being on that show that you've taken with you?
Yeah, they really preached to us to kind of embrace our star power, right? Like being on that stage and performing live, there's a certain surge of energy, just adrenaline that comes over you. If you're built to do that, you know, it just makes you know I'm supposed to be here. And they really preach to us, like, embrace who you are as an artist, embrace the talents and the gifts you have, and embrace your star power and let it shine out there. You know, don't don't try to conceal who you are and what you can do.
Then later on, you did Tim McGraw.
Yeah.
Live Like You Were Dying, which is, you know, that song always affects me when I hear it.
Yeah.
That get you choked up sometimes too when you're performing that song?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it has a new meaning for me now. My uncle had passed away about 3 weeks before I performed that song cancer, after a bout with cancer, and he passed away young. And I just wanted to give him a good tribute and honor him. I was blessed that on that last round, I was able to do that and sing that song. They gave me that opportunity. And now I sing that song a couple times a week, performing live. And the other day I got choked up. I wasn't able to completely finish it.
I get choked up listening to it. Mm. You know, it's funny, that group I'm in, that the TikTok group I'm in, we'll do like collaboration videos. And that was one of the songs we did. And it got a huge response because of the message in that song, right?
Yeah. So it's beautiful. Something we can all take with us, you know, on the daily, just kind of embrace.
Yeah. Well, Dean was saying it too, before the show started, in Grizz, I think we're all unanimous that your songs that you have released right now, you've got four, every one of them is amazing.
Oh, you guys.
Yeah. Hell of a voice. Great energy.
Thank you, guys. So, man.
You got a background as an actor.
Yeah.
Do you, like on The Voice, did you call on any of that background to say, okay, I'm going to put myself into a character when I go out there, or not at all? That's just you.
It's a great question, man. I try to be real genuine on stage. I just love being up there. It's my favorite part about being able to do this for a living. So there is an extra level that comes out of me, right? I'm usually a pretty chill dude. I'm kind of laid back. I like, you know, beer and football and hanging out and chilling. But when I'm on stage, I feel like there's an extra persona that kind of kicks in. And I go from this kind of chill, laid back dude to a dude who wants to rock the house and kind of bring it down.
Well, it just seems like it's an extra skill that's good to have, you know?
For sure. For sure. You know how to engage with an audience, you know how to kind of what they want and what they feed off of, and you feed off them as well.
What made you decide that, okay, that's not going to be the path? And did you really decide that's not going to be the path, or did you just put it on hold and say, yeah, I can come back to it later?
That's exactly what I did. You know, I put it on hold. It's still a passion of mine, and I pray that you know, later on in my career, I can get back to that, you know, do some TVs and movie shows again, some TV shows and movies again, and get back to the stage as well.
No doubt.
I assume you're bilingual, right?
I am, yeah.
So you could go like Telemundo too.
For sure. Yeah. Hey, listen, I heard those Spanish soap operas pay well. Yeah.
Telenovelas. I used to watch them all the time.
You know, Spanish actresses, nothing wrong with it. They're real hot. So
when you're getting up and you figure Rick Springfield, Jon Bon Jovi, Jared Leto. I mean,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, actors, right?
Yeah.
Who's the dude that did Rock On? Michael Damian.
Michael Damian. Remember that?
Here's another one.
I'm still blown away. Did you ever see oh my God, I can't remember, I just forgot his name.
Problem is a second ago.
I'm gonna have to come back to it because it's embarrassing. Let me come back.
Phone a friend. So Orlando, let's get into,
we don't know nothing.
Yeah. Let's get into your original music. The first one I want to talk about is Front Porch Heartbreak. Now, these four songs, did you write them?
So I wrote three out of the four all by myself, no co-writers.
Wow.
I wrote Front Porch Heartbreak, Long Gone Lullaby, and Heart on the Line. And then I was gifted where I am right now by a group of very talented writers.
All right. Well, to be a songwriter and like a solo songwriter and come out with songs that are Nashville hit radio quality is impressive.
Very.
Because it's it's like a factory there sometimes with songwriters, and it's a good thing. I mean, you get great songs that come out, but the fact that you can do it is just another level of impressive. Seriously. So let's get into Front Porch Heartbreak. I don't have any music videos per se, but you can see the artwork And it's more about the music anyway. So I'm just going to hit mute here and we're going to play this song right now. This is Front Porch Heartbreak. We're going to go to 206 right here. You know, what I want to get into, because I love that. That's a bridge. And it's going to tie into a discussion we have with a really big 90s band that we had recently with Toad the Wet Sprocket, which we love. And we got into Glenn, who's a guy we admire, and we were talking about bridges and how that's kind of a dying art in a lot of music. Here, you just wrote a killer bridge, man. It has a da-da-da-da-da, those little steps in there.
Yeah. That's
beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I think, man, a bridge of a song is so important, right? You always have, everyone focuses on the chorus has to hit. But I'll tell you what, if you can get a good bridge and kick off into that final piece of the song, that final chorus, there's something really powerful about that, you know?
Well, the best songs, if I could go down through a list, it's always about the management of energy and tension. Yeah. You got to create tension, you got to create resolution. And what you were saying about too much focus on the chorus, you know, I feel like there's too much attention to go straight to the hook and then just ride the hook. And there's no playing of tension. And that's what the bridge does. It does a great job setting up tension and teeing up for the resolution.
It breaks up the repetition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And you wrote, it's a killer bridge. It's a killer bridge. When I was listening to that song, that just hooked me in even deeper into the song, because it's just a really good climax of a point there. So, and you wrote that song. So Front Porch Heartbreak. Is this the first song you wrote on your own?
There was, it's the first song, one of the first songs I wrote on my own. Actually, the first one I wrote is a song called Motherland, which is about my connection with Cuba. I'm a second generation Cuban American. So my grandparents are from there. And that's the first song I wrote. And that's actually coming out real soon. I'm excited about that one as well.
Is country music in Cuba right now?
So there's not our country music, but there are definitely there's definitely country music made by Cuban farmers and ranchers and country folk in Cuba.
Does it have a style that's relatable to ours, or it's very traditional?
Well, it's something. A lot of the themes are similar, right? They talk about simple life and stuff, but obviously sonically it's pretty different, you know. Right. You got a lot of hand percussion, a lot of gut string,
some bongos in country music. That's something missing. We need some bongos in country.
That song Motherland, it's got those.
Are you gonna release it?
Timbali?
Yeah, it's coming in November.
Nice, man. Oh, I don't want to get into food, but boy do I love platanos. Oh my god. Oof. I can eat that every day.
Miss it, dude.
Oh, I bet. All right, so that is Front Porch Heartbreak. Let's get into the next one here. This one is Long Gone Lullaby. We actually have two notes on this. In fact, Grizz, I'll probably go to your note. That's your note about the chord drop, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's just get to the 46 second mark of this song. If you don't know Orlando, Grizz and I have known each other since the early 90s. Dean, we've basically just met, but it feels like we've known him since the 90s.
I'm the newbie.
But we're all brothers anyway.
You guys got great chemistry though, man.
Glad we pull it off.
Yeah.
No, it's natural. It's absolutely natural. But we listen to music in a way. Like if we're driving down the road, and I'm just going back to our days where Grizz and I were driving, and we'd hear a part in a song and we'd stop, play that back. And many times we pulled the car over on trips to play a part in a song back over and over again because of how it hit. When Grizz writes a note like, there's a chord drop in there, that's something we would have pulled the car over for, probably. Yeah. And I said, dude,
heard it back. That's good
amount. It took us forever to get anywhere.
There were a lot of stop starting. Oh, that's where stop starts come from. All right. There, so, Long Gone Lullaby. Why don't you talk about this song, like, lyrically, like, what's the story behind it while I get this set up here?
Yeah, absolutely. So it was, this song was inspired by an ex of mine. You know, just as I was kind of getting over her, she seemed to always have this sense, right? This like spider sense of, wait, I think he's getting over me. And she would start texting and calling again. It was like magic. You know, we broke up a few times and it was like magic. But I decided to write this song, Long Gone Lullaby, as the last final goodbye. Like, you can kiss me goodbye. It's time to, it's kind
closing
of
the book
to,
on it.
Closing right, it's time to make that distance real.
There you go. All right. Well, let's hit mute here and we'll get to that right now. So this is Long Gone Lullaby, and let's sit back, take it in. This is Orlando Mendez, everybody. Here we go.
It comes from the bottom of my broken heart, and every single damn line in it's true. This is that bourbon and whiskey, baby, don't you miss me, 'cause you never treated me.
Got a bluesy thing to that. Let's get this going here. You know, Grizz, when you called out that, I heard it.
But, I know you did.
Yeah, like the Pavlov's dog. Like, oh, there it is.
You guys. So you definitely know how to set up the hook. So what were you into growing up? Where's the inspiration come from?
Well, I grew up listening to a lot of 90s and early 2000s rock. My dad was a big grunge guy and punk rock guy. And so I grew up with Nirvana and Pearl Jam, and I grew up with Green Day and Creed and Dave Matthews Band and a lot of musical influences. But then I found, I think I really married the two of melody and highlighting the hook when I found country music. And when I saw how good they are delivering you, you know, telling this story and then delivering you this beautifully worded hook, you know, I try to do that in my songs, Long Gone Lullaby, you know, Front Porch Heartbreak. It's something I always try to strive for.
You may have a challenge where he's a hell of a singer, great voice. You definitely present the song well and you write the song well. So if you find yourself in a position where, like, some major act came up to you and said, I dig that song, I want it. I mean, do you hold on to it because you can deliver it yourself, or do you let it go? Tough position.
Great. Yeah. Great question. That would be it'd be a tough choice. You know, if one of these big artists would come up to me and want to cut one of my songs, I don't know what I'd do. It'd be a game time decision, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be interesting to hear. Well, just the fact, I think, if somebody just walks up and says, hey, I want to do your song, that has to be wild, right? I remember we had Jennifer Aiden on, and, you know, she was a new songwriter, moves to Nashville, writes a song. She's going to have Corey Batten. Corey Batten's written killer songs, right? And he was actually going to sing it. They co-wrote it together. And all of a sudden, Corey goes, no, guess what? I'm not going to be singing your song. And she goes, why? He goes, Blake Shelton wants it.
Wow.
And it became a number one song and a platinum selling song. Can you imagine?
Wow. I mean, you know, it does wonders for you as a songwriter too. If you can get somebody, you know, huge to cut your song, it goes number one and you got it made as a songwriter, you know?
Oh, you're automatically a name in the house, right? Like, it's,
yeah.
You're like, oh, it's that guy.
Right. These publishing companies start looking around like, man, it's, you know, would take you seriously.
Well, that leads me to, now I know you didn't write this. Who were the writers on Where I Am Right Now?
Yeah, Jason Nix, who he also wrote I Know a Few Things, A Man Ought to Know, Lainey Wilson. Reed Isbell, who's written a lot for Luke Combs, and Jesse Alexander, who is a really renowned Nashville songwriter as well.
Because, as I told Christy, I said, this is a number one song. I mean, dude, I never, when I go to the gym, I'm usually listening to hard rock. I go to the gym every other day to lift weights. I had that song on a loop the entire time.
Damn, damn. She told me that. She showed me the email. I was like,
it's no joke, because that song just, and I'm not taking away from the songs you wrote either. So don't take it like, oh, that.
No, not at all.
That song's better. I'm just saying that the way that hit is like, it's got everything in it. When it hits that chorus and it's so relatable, and it's like a kind of like when I heard Cole Swindell, You Ain't Worth the Whiskey. You know that song?
Yeah,
right. As soon as I heard it on the radio, I went, oh, because it's talking about, you know, basically you're at a bar in this song, mm-hmm. and you're trying to get over and you're dealing with heartbreak. And oh my God, it's just an incredible song. I know I'm hyping it, but wow. And so how did you wind up getting this song?
Yeah, it was, we were going in, I'm working with Nick Worley, the son of legendary country producer Paul Worley. Yeah. And we're going into these different publishing companies trying to get a batch of songs together to record. I had a few I wrote, and then we wanted a few that were written by other Nashville writers. And it was one of the first songs pitched to us by Jody Williams and his publishing house. And I heard it and I was like, what a song, what a story.
So how did the demo sound versus what you got? I know there's always demo tapes that you get. So how much different is it?
One thing I loved about the demo is it was stripped down. It was just a guy and an acoustic guitar.
Really?
And sometimes you get full blown demos with, you know, drums and harmonies and all these guitar licks and stuff. And this was just a dude and his guitar. It was just Jason Nix and his guitar, and it sounded awesome. But I was like, that song has so much potential to grow with a full band, you know?
Good call.
Yeah.
Good call, man, because you probably heard what I would have heard and went, oh, man, this song could go to another level, and I'll take it there. It's you that delivers it. Like, you became that messenger of this great song.
Thank
you. I got to play some of this because it's too good not to. I've been looking forward tonight just to talk about these songs. This one, too, is just blows me out of the water. I can't wait till you actually... Hello, let me come back here. You actually, I think, provided some video clips. I wonder if I can get them. Hold on a minute. Let me put the audio back. If you guys got some things you want to talk about here, I'm going to try to pull a video clip here.
Yeah, I am curious. You were talking about it was just a guy with an acoustic guitar. Does that make it easier? Because now you're free. You got just the bones, but you can imagine everything else. Or is it sometimes easier to actually hear the whole thing flushed out?
I like it better when it's stripped down. I like it better when we are the ones who are, you know, me and the studio session players can put their own touch on it. So I like when it's a stripped down demo, maybe just a guitar or two. And then you're the one who can use your imagination to kind of fill that out in the studio. You know, sometimes these demos, when they're fully fleshed out, it's a complete song already, you know.
Is there an expectation when it's all fleshed out that this is how it's going to be, just put your vocals in there?
Pretty much. I mean, you know, a lot of the writers, all the writers give you your room to put your own feel on it. But, you know, when it's a full fleshed out song and they're in love with it, it's hard to change it drastically.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Do you play anything else, Orlando?
I play guitar. I play acoustic guitar.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, I think I'm going to try this, see if this works, because it's not the typical browser. Mm-hmm. So let me see if I can present a file here, because I got the file downloaded.
So let's see. While you're doing that, I'll share with you, because I thought about it as soon as I said that I forgot his name, which is embarrassing. Did you ever see Antonio Banderas when he did Phantom of the Opera with Sarah Brightman?
I have not seen him do Phantom of the Opera, no.
Mind-blowing.
Really?
Antonio's vocals, phenomenal. Mind-blowing.
I had no idea he even sang.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Wow. You got to watch it.
Wow. Wait, I wanted to share this comment here real quick. Yes, acoustic is just magical in and of itself. It's true. All right, so is this going to be part of the official video coming out, Orlando?
So there is a video being made for this one. It's still in the works. But the song after Heart on the Line has an official video coming out late this week or early.
Do you care that I play this clip here or no? Because it's not official.
Yeah, roll it for sure.
Because I think this song is so good that a visual to it just makes it so much better. And I saw, like, I shared your TikTok clip. I duetted you.
Nice.
And shared that where you're at the bar. And I went, this is just phenomenal. So,
man, I appreciate it.
It looks like it's going to work here. So let's do this. Again, This Is Where I Am Right Now is out and available. Came out earlier this month. And I'm telling you, I've had it on rotation. I can't stop. So let's see if this works.
Clock in, clock out. Blend in with the party crowd. Burn down a pack of cigarettes. Act like I'm watching the game. Bar stool, three sheets. Caught up in the middle of a memory that still got me all tied down. That's just where I am right now. I'm sunset.
Darn it. That song is so damn good. Oh, Lordy. All right, let me get you back here. Dude, that song just, I'm telling you, right from the start, it had me hooked in. And then you hit that chorus where there's drop chords in it. And it goes,
yeah, drop chords, halftime yeah, for you.
I was going to ask you, whose thought was that to go to the halftime? Was that yours?
No, that was the drummer, Greg Morrow.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
We love that.
We love songs that shift to halftime.
Yeah.
Of course. You know, like there's an alternative band, My Chemical Romance, and that song, Helena.
Yeah.
It's just that. It's like the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then it gets into the chorus halftime, and you're like, oh, just the emotions that come out of it. You did it right there.
It makes you feel like you're floating. You're suspended.
That's right. It opens it up. It opens it up. You know, it gives it room for the lyrics to really be heard Yeah, just that shift, I think, is awesome.
Was there more of it? I'm sorry, real quick here. Is there more, another clip, too? I think you sent three. I think she sent three.
Yeah, they're all similar, I think.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, I think they might be the same parts of the song.
Oh, okay. So go ahead, Dean, because I'm going to play more parts of the song here.
I was just going to ask, your vocals, is that just natural, or did you go through some training, a lot of development on it?
It was, you know, I didn't take any vocal lessons growing up. I just started taking vocal lessons seriously about a year ago when I was starting up on The Voice. And it's definitely helped my voice grow and change. A lot of it was just what I had been doing, singing my whole life.
I'd have to imagine vocal lessons been great. I'd have to imagine the last year has been more about technique and how to, you know, protect your voice. But the dynamics that I hear are just incredible dynamic. So that's just probably what you've always done.
Thank you. Amazing. Yeah. Honestly, I'm not the most trained singer. I kind of go off intuition and what I'm feeling, you know. Some people say I don't sing very healthy, but to me it feels right and it feels good. And now
what's that mean?
I sing kind of harsh. You know, I definitely bring a lot of chest voice and I get that raspy sound, that gravel kind of people call it.
If you don't do that right, it can damage your chords.
Right. I feel like it works for me, and it's worked for me for years. Now I'm just trying to work on longevity. I want to do this my entire life. I want to do this till I'm old and gray, you know, so I'm learning to do that as well.
Ashley, I'll address your question in a second, but I wanted to say too that, Ashley, if you go to my video I duetted Orlando on, you'll see him, because I duetted him. It'll be in the description. You can just click on his name and then get everybody to follow him there. So well, what were the last thing you were just talking about? Kind of threw
protecting the vocals.
Protecting the vocal. Oh, I was going to say, when you were in the knockout rounds on The Voice, you did Rocket Man.
Yeah.
Which was amazing to hear yours done kind of a like country a little bit.
Yeah.
But when you hit that final note in Rocket Man, when you held the note, that got all the judges' attention.
And yeah, I think it's what won it for me, to be honest with you. It was close, you know.
What was that like taking on Rocket Man? Because, you know, that's Elton John's voice, right?
It was daunting. I mean, when they told me we were singing Rocket Man, because we didn't pick for that second round. It was a coach pick. And, you know, I was expecting something country, something I had grown up, you know, kind of singing and listening to. And then they said Rocket Man, which is, this is for real. It's my favorite Elton John song. And I was like, man, how are we going to pull that off? I was like, dude, they couldn't have given us a harder task. And then we started talking it over, and I was like, yeah, let's put, you know, a country spin on it.
Yeah, and you did. Anybody go, if you go to Orlando.
I got to look that up because I didn't see it.
Yeah, Orlando Mendez, The Voice, Rocket Man, you'll see it. It was a duet, and with Ava Lynn Thurston.
Thurston.
If you look it up, you'll see the video. It turned out really good. And again, that was what all the coaches honed in on, is he held a certain note right there, and it just blew them away. So you deliver, man. You deliver.
Thank you, man. I'm glad I tried to.
Well, you do. You do. You're on your way, man. That's so good. So I want to get to, in that same song, before we get to the last song, you do the second verse is the one, because it's the chorus in the lyrics in the chorus of the second verse are different in Where I Am Right Now. I'm not mistaken. So let me do this. I don't have an engineer, right? I'm doing this all on my own. Trying to be seamless, and it's not as easy. Like all these big shows have like an engineer that's doing all this in the background. All right. So here we go. I want to get to this part here. And now it's going to buffer on me. You got to be kidding me. Oh, internet, don't do this to me. Of course, we can just stare at Orlando's face here as he's. There we go. And it's going to buffer. Are you kidding me right now? This is where I am right now, buffering. all right. Well, it's not cooperating right now, people. Sorry. I don't know what's going on here. Better not have lost the internet. That would be a bummer. All right, let me make sure everybody else is still here. Look at the audio. I don't know why it's not playing there, guys.
Sounds like it's time for a reboot.
Oh, I think I got it now. I think I wasn't patient enough. Hold on, let me do this again, because I gotta do this, and then I want to get to his song that's out now, which is fantastic. Another one I can't stop listening to. So here we go. I think we're good. Again, Where I Am Right Now is out and available. Go get it. And here we go.
I shut down this bar, stumble into a stranger's arms. Believe it, baby, I ain't proud. But that's just where I am right now. I'm sunset, high top, locked in on me.
Now I want to get to the end of this because Grizz has a note about the outro. Right now. Yes, I'm sitting at a bar at the bottom. Is it? I'm trying to remember where it is now. Hold on a second. There's the outro part with the harmonies. Let me see. The note was 249. Here we go. Holding the note, dude. Holy smokes. I give you an standing ovation, but I'll knock everything out of the wall.
There's so actually, there's actually the one, yeah, and the one after that too. I hold it too there, man. Thank you guys. I appreciate that. Not everyone kind of sticks around for that. So I appreciate it.
So what? I listen to you and I go, man, you're ready. You're ready. So I'm kind of curious from like an industry insider's perspective, what's some of the advice or coaching? Is there anybody saying, well, kid, you're almost there, but here's what you got to do? Or is.
Yeah. I mean, I've met with, you know, since I've been here in Nashville, I've had a couple great meetings with some executives, some agents and managers, and they're like, you're doing everything right. You're doing great. It's just this new world we live in. It's all about followers and streams. And
don't you hate that?
I mean, listen, I get it. We hate that.
I tell my parents all the time I should have grown up like in the 70s and the 80s. You know, I feel like I would have thrived. But you know, this is the day and age I live in. This is the game we're playing. So right now I'm focused on getting that following count up, those stream numbers up, so that I'll be taken seriously. You know.
Yeah, I'll share, and this probably is what you're hearing. I had a conversation with a record exec about a month ago, and we were talking about bedroom musicians. And I don't really mean to slam it, but you know what I'm talking about. You got the person that just does everything in their bedroom, and all of a sudden they get signed, and they're out there. Where I'm a big fan of people paying their dues. You play the crappy venues, you work your way up because you learn lessons. And I just assumed that was still a value. And he goes, no, it's all about what you said. It's about the follower. So if you're in your bedroom and you get 3 million followers, sign them.
That's how it is nowadays, man. As crazy that as that sounds, as insane as that sounds, that's how it is. I still believe in the old fashioned way, man. Go out and build those fans face to face, you know, in person.
Yeah.
Same thing, Orlando. Just like make an album in your bedroom with a messy bed in the background.
That's it.
You'll be number one.
You guys have to promise to share it.
Keep the dog in there, though.
Yeah, get the dog in there, you know. All right. Well, let's get into the new song, the more recent song. We say new. I mean, Where I Am Right Now just came out a few weeks ago. This, Heart on the Line. Is this out yet?
Yes.
This is the one that came out September
8th, right?
Yeah. I'm sorry. When did Where I Am Right Now come out?
That one came out in August. Yeah, August, end of August.
Yeah, it needs to be number one. And so is Heart on the Line. We got notes on this one, too. 46 seconds in. We get specific. All right. 46 seconds in, we were going to call something out here, in the quality of the song. It's so good. I see the people's comments already. So yeah, this stuff is awesome. This is Heart on the Line, everybody.
So baby, hold me tonight.
Man, that is such a throwback to great classic country music. Now, I want to go to 144 and then we can sum it all up here. Let's go to 144.
Yeah.
I needed you, baby. So where the hell did you go? And you can leave me tomorrow, but tonight don't let me, don't let me go.
My God, right? Jeez. Orlando. He's got four songs. What are you kidding me? This is like, you're already like a seasoned dude. I mean, you're hitting a note. Like, where'd that come from?
Yeah, that thing with your voice.
Yeah,
you that's said it. That's talk, like, oh, go on.
No, speaking of the voice, that's another thing, you know, Camila kind of told me to embrace as well. I have, you know, she's like, kick into that falsetto voice. It's kind of cool, you know? So I've been embracing that a little more since the show.
Wow. Oh, go ahead, Grant. Sorry.
I was going to say, you hit it with a throwback, man. When I first heard that, I was like thinking like even like yacht rock, you know, with some like country twist, you know? I was like, wow. Oh,
yeah.
Well, it's really cool.
It took me back to like 92 with Blackhawk, or, you know.
Yeah. One of my favorite bands.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Dude, and also in the chorus, you do some steps in there. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
The change ups in there. Man, I'm telling you. Every song, you notice? We highlighted everyone you got out because they're that good.
I appreciate you guys, man. It means a lot to me. Those songs are, you know, you never know what you're going to get when you put a song out there. It's kind of your baby, a piece of you, you know, and you put it out there into the world and just hope people enjoy it, man. And this is, it's an honor to hear you guys enjoy it.
Well, the good news is all those babies got adopted.
I love that. Let's go.
That'll be a new term. Yeah. Cause I'd adopt them all and make room. No, but that's, you're great. So are you doing tours, shows before we let you go?
I have some shows here in Nashville lined up. Old Red, I play a few times a month. I have a show coming up at the East Side Bowl November 29th. That'll be an artist showcase. I'm doing some shows in Jacksonville, Florida, if anybody's in Jacksonville.
A little bit of a hike for me, but.
Yeah, Lynch is in Jacksonville, and then in St. Augustine at Prohibition Kitchen. But next year's the year. I will be on the road a lot next year. I'm already working on booking shows, and I'll be in a city near you.
I'll be looking forward to you in North Carolina.
Nice. Yeah, same here.
And I'm in Tampa.
Not too far from home. That's good.
Ybor, man. That's Ybor. Cuban country right
there. Yes, sir.
Come on down to Ybor, man. We'll get some cigars.
I love
meet
it.
Meet you down there.
I love it.
Before we let you go, what's a dream duet right now? Like, if you could, right now, is there somebody you'd love to do a song with or collaborate with right now?
Yeah, wow, there's so many for me. But I think someone I've always wanted to, someone we're in the works with possibly doing a duet with is Raul Malo of the Mavericks. Guy of also Cuban descent from Miami. So that's a possible duet coming very soon. But I've always loved Casey Musgraves. I'd love to do a duet with.
Oh, there you go. Let's put it out in the universe.
There we go.
Orlando Menez and Casey Musgraves.
Love it. Yeah. The list is long, though, man. Vince Gill. Oh, I mean, there's a ton of them.
Yeah. And I have a feeling you'll get a lot of them.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Keep in touch as you get new music out. We would love to have you back.
Definitely. Yeah.
This was fun, guys. I'd love to come hang and kick it with you guys again.
Kick it with us. Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much, Orlando.
Thank you, guys. Have a blessed one.